Man, that's a tough act to follow right there, you know what I'm saying? Well, good morning. Welcome to Kairos. We're so glad you guys are here. It's going to be a great day. It has been a great day. Awesome day of worship and just getting to chat with some of you before service. We're closing out our series today. I know I've said that a few times, but we actually are. If you haven't been with us, we've been going through the book of Galatians over the last 10 weeks. Been a phenomenal series that we've been going through. We've learned so much, from Paul's letter to the Galatians and what it means to receive grace and to kind of give that grace out and how we're supposed to do that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of summarize, and I'm going to send you off with some things that we can continue to do as we live out grace. Now, just about every week of this series, I have led off with Galatians 1:3, and I'm going to go ahead and read that to you as well. It's actually 1:3-5, and then I'm going to get into just the purpose behind that and what Paul does in his letter. So Galatians 1, verse 3-5, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, Paul begins his letter, and interestingly enough, he begins many of his letters, if not all of them, with grace. Grace to you. And it's an important thing because there's grace that comes to you. And I believe for Paul, and this is something that I believe for myself as someone who gives God word, Paul began with grace, number one, to remind himself that the Galatians needed to hear grace, just like we all need to hear grace. And we receive grace from God, and then, you know, our flesh comes in and, you know, different things happen, and we kind of separate ourselves from it, or we make mistakes. And so that means we all need grace. So Paul begins with it, and he says, "Grace to you. Just know that what I'm writing to you, it all comes from a place of grace. It all comes from a place of love." But it's also to remind the Galatians and us that grace has already been given to us. So maybe have a little bit of grace for yourself. So Galatians 1:3, it just says that, grace to you. Now, it's really, really cool, and this is something that I found in my studies, is that Paul, he ends kind of in the same way that he begins. He ends with grace so that as he gives grace to them, they will take grace with them. Galatians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what's really cool is if you go through and you look at all the books and all the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, this is how he starts and ends every single one of his letters. Grace to you and grace be with you. I'm going to read those to you. It'll be on the screen. It's 1 Thessalonians. It's all the books. So you can put the slide up there with all the different verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:28, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." 2 Thessalonians 3:8, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you." Romans 16:20, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." 1 Corinthians 16:23, "The grace of Lord Jesus be with you." 2 Corinthians 13:13, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." Ephesians, "Grace be with you." Philippians 4:23, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Philemon 1:25, "Be with your spirit." 1 Timothy 6:21, "Grace be with all of you." 2 Timothy 4:22, "The Lord be with your spirit and grace be with you." Titus 3:15, "Grace be with all of you." And Colossians 4:18, "Grace be with you." Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like he really wants us to understand grace, to receive it, and then also to take it with us, to go with grace. I was looking up this word "with" within the Greek, and it actually came up to the word is meta. Now, you may have heard the word meta in recent times, right? There's this whole metaverse thing that's going on. Yeah, so wild stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, metaverse. But what's really interesting is that, like, this word is coming up, and I'm like, there is something so important about being with one another. But what Paul is saying here is that we need to have meta grace. We need to go with grace always. And in every interaction, go with grace. Grace to you and grace be with you. So Paul gave it, and he shared grace, because if you know Paul's story, he got grace. He got a lot of grace, grace that he didn't deserve. I mean, we've talked about this all throughout this series. What did you do? What did I do to get God's grace? Nothing. We did nothing, and that's why it's grace. And then the other thing is, what should someone have to do to get God's grace from you? If you had to do nothing to get it, then someone in your life should have to do nothing to get it. We offer the grace that we have been given. None of us deserves grace, which is why it's so important to go with grace. And the reality is this, and you may know this, and you may have learned this through the series or through your life, grace is what reconciles relationships. I mean, you think about it. Think about it with God. What did grace do for us? It reconciled us through Jesus Christ on the cross. Grace reconciled us with God. And as we give grace to others, as we get grace from others, it reconciles our relationship. And that's why it's so important. And I believe why Paul shares it in every one of his letters, to go with grace. Remember the grace that you've been given, and then go out into this world and give that grace out. I, for one, am so thankful that God didn't give up on me or quit on me or stop showing me grace in my sin. And I think for all of us, we've got to remember and remind ourselves that though being in relationships with people who also sin is hard, is stressful, is messy, whatever, we can't give up on the people that God has brought into our lives. We can't stop giving grace or going with grace. So that would be kind of what I want to send you out with today. Don't give up. Don't give up on showing grace. Don't give up on people. Go with grace and share the grace. I know often in this life it's somewhat easy and tempting to kind of just stay in our own little bubble, right? Because in our bubble it's safe. In our bubble it's predictable. In our bubble it's easy. In our bubble it's not as messy. Because at the end of the day, relationships are messy. The relationships we have are messy because there's sin involved. But the beauty is that just like God has reconciled us back to him through grace, we do the same. We go with the grace that we have been given. And with the grace that we've been given, guess what we got? As we were baptized into Christ, we received the Spirit. And so what we need to do is take those fruits of the Spirit, and other people around us need to experience them through us. Grace gave us that, not just for us, but also so that we could give that grace to others. In Galatians 5, and really we've talked about it a little bit all throughout this series, there's this looming battle going on within us, the desires of the flesh that are opposing the fruit of the Spirit. And we've talked about how the desires of the flesh, they are there, they are rampaging, and the desires of the flesh are something that destroy, whereas the fruits of the Spirit, that is something that is welcoming, that is something that is restoring. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, like the desires of the flesh, and we see it all around the world, the desires of the flesh will happen if we do nothing. The desires of the flesh are gonna carry out the desires of the flesh if we do nothing. And the fruit of the Spirit will happen, you ready, when we go with grace. It's like this, you know, we were given grace, and as we were given grace, we were given the fruits of the Spirit, and as we're given the fruits of the Spirit, we're called to give those out and give grace to others, and as we give grace to others, and we show them God, and they receive God, and they receive that grace, they give the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit lead them to giving grace to others, and it's just this cycle of giving grace, and the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. And as we go and as we give those things, what we've talked about and what Paul talked about is those fruits of the Spirit are going to come up against the desires of the flesh. And that's going to be within us. And like I talked about last week, it's also meant to be for the people around us. As the Spirit within us combats the flesh within us, it's also going to combat or come against the desires of the flesh in other believers around us. Every single one of our relationships go with grace. Relationships and grace go hand in hand. Relationships and grace go together like coffee goes with cream, like peanut butter goes with jelly, like French fries go with Frosties, you know what I'm talking about. Like popcorn goes with movies, like steak goes with potatoes. And so I came to this realization that what we need to be doing in our lives with all of our relationships, even when it's tough, is we need to season our relationships with a whole lot of grace. And I got the picture of that guy, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, just let it go. Just let it flow and just constantly give grace. Because no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, if you're in an argument or something, there's a situation, there's a circumstance within your relationship, I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll go into whatever that is with grace, with the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and gentleness, and all, you go into, you're going to find reconciliation. But you got to be willing to give that grace that was given to you. So we sprinkle grace, a whole lot of grace, on other relationships. We even, I think, sometimes need to give ourselves a little bit of grace as well. So Paul wrote this letter, the letter of Galatians, a letter about grace. I've shared, we've done 10 weeks of this and just shared about the grace that we have been given and that we're called to go. And so now it's time to take it with us in every interaction that we have. And so I just want to really quickly run through just the kind of the list of things that we've talked about. We talked about how grace brings about change. When we experience that grace through God, it leads to change in our lives. Grace brings change. So who we were in our flesh, we were dead and sin was causing pain. It was leading to death. And then we get grace and grace transforms us. And so we've got to always remember the change that grace brought. Don't forget what grace has done in your life. Don't forget what God rescued you from. You've got to remember the change. So we talked about the change and how important it is to remember and look back to the change that God brought in your life. And then with change, when God comes along and brings change within you and you crucify the flesh and you begin to live out the fruits of the Spirit, you begin to walk in your gospel purpose. And your purpose, man, that's something that God has for you, to bring him glory. He wants you to go and share grace for his glory. And so you got to look at your purpose and understand your purpose, no matter where it's at, no matter what God calls you to, live out your purpose, not for you. We talked about you making sure that your motive is right, that you're doing it for God's glory. So you live out your purpose. So change and it brings purpose, and that happens through the Spirit. These are things that are really important. So we get baptized into Christ, and when we're baptized into Christ, we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about being baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit comes in us, and as we receive that Spirit, we become daughters, we become sons, we get the inheritance of the fruits of the Spirit. And it's so important that as we are changed and as we live out gospel purpose, that we rely on his Spirit and not on ourselves. And Paul talks about this a lot in his book. This is the next one. It's faith. Faith and faith alone. We put it as Jesus and nothing else, but it's faith in who Jesus is and what Jesus did and that he gave us grace. It is not works. You can't do anything to earn it. And so you got to remember that it's just having faith in Jesus, that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to take your place. He gave you grace even though you didn't deserve it. The fifth thing, and really the sixth thing, is drifting. We talked about how we can drift from grace. We can forget the grace that we were given, and we begin to, you know, step back into our old life. And really what we need when we're drifting from grace is we need accountability. We need people alongside us that'll help us, man, stay the course, that'll hold us accountable to the things that we're going through and dealing with. And so we don't want to drift. Because it's really easy to drift. We go back to Paul, and he's like, you know, he called them foolish, and he said, you're spiritually dull. You've forgotten the grace that you were given, and you're trying to substitute other things for grace. Don't drift from the grace. The grace is by faith and faith alone. And then, of course, we talked about fluffing up grace, right? No fluff. We talked about Paul's cookies. Anyone ever tried Paul's cookies yet? Yeah, they're good. They'll make you real fluffy. So that's good, but the fluff we're talking about is not adding things to grace. So in this whole thing, Paul was really addressing the one thing that the Judaizers were coming in and they're saying you have to be circumcised to have salvation. And Paul's like, no, there's no fluff to this. It's grace. Grace that was given, grace that you didn't earn, grace that you didn't deserve. It was grace by Jesus and nothing else. You don't add anything to this. There's no fluff that we add. And we do this in our lives, and we talked about how oftentimes we have personal conviction and we try to turn that into gospel revelation, but it's not. Just because God convicts you of something doesn't mean that that is for somebody else. And so we talked about don't add to grace. No drifting, no fluffing. And then we get into, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. We're called as Christ's followers, as those who are baptized into Christ and have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit within us to produce fruit. And so we go and we produce love and we produce joy and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control in our lives, and we do it in other people's lives. And it's very important that we're doing that so that we can oppose the desires of the flesh within us. And then the very final thing, we talked about this last week, is restoration. How we may see a brother or sister in Christ stumbling, drifting, whatever, fluffing them. Maybe that we restore one another gently and we carry one another's burdens. We talked about last week, it's got to be gentle, not gruff, because sometimes we can get a little bit zealous, we can get a little bit excited, and we can kind of take the grace and make it into something that it's not meant to be. So there's change, there's purpose, there's spirit, there's faith, there's no drifting, no fluffing, produce fruit, and restore. And so that's what we're called to go with. We go with grace. We go in our change. We go live out our God-given purpose. We go relying on the Spirit. We don't go trying to earn or keep our faith. We don't forget the grace that's been given or shown. We don't fluff it. We don't add anything to it, and we produce fruit. And as we go out into this world and as we interact with others and as we have relationships, we are always to be reminding ourselves that we need to be understanding of what other people are going through. Have empathy and sympathy for the things that they're dealing with. And it's important that we go with grace. So we began this year with grace to us. And that's what Paul says, grace to you. And now I think what we need to do is continue to go out the rest of this year, the rest of our lives, taking grace with us and giving that grace with others and helping people see the fruits of the Spirit so that we can help draw them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what I decided to do is I kind of came up with a Galatians preach grace summary. They're going to put it on the screen, and I'm going to give you the long version and then the short version. They'll put the short version up. So basically, it's this. Grace brought change within us, giving us gospel purpose through the Spirit and by faith alone, and we do not drift from it, and we do not add to it, but instead, we produce fruit that preaches grace to others. And what you're seeing behind me is this. Grace brings change and purpose through the Spirit by faith alone. Don't drift from it. Don't add fluff to it, but produce fruit that preaches grace. And it's so important to remember all these things. I've talked about it a lot, and remembering the change, remembering the grace, remembering your purpose to not drift, to not fluff. And when you're doing all these things, and you're doing them daily, you will go out into your workplace, into your home, into your community, into your school, wherever you're going, and you will preach grace. And preaching grace is giving out those fruits of the Spirit. And so we take the grace that has been given with us, and we go. Like Galatians 6:18 says, we go with grace. And we go and give grace, and we go and live out grace. Now, I wanted to kind of maybe give you just some practical ways to do this. And so six ways to show grace or to go with grace. And we've talked about some of them a little bit, but I want to unpack them just a little bit more. The first one is this, and this is so important, is that we got to repent. Repentance is key to remembering grace. Because it's in repentance that we remind ourselves that though we were freed from sin's punishment, right? Like Jesus took our place, he paid the penalty. Yes, we were freed from sin's punishment. That doesn't mean that you and I are sin-free. And it's so important. And I think, you know, within Galatians, what tends to take place is those who are saved by grace forget that they were saved by grace, and they somehow think that now they have arrived, but they haven't. And so we got to remember in our lives, that there are still things that we do that cause us to sin. And we're no better than anyone else. And so we've got to remember repentance. We've got to examine our lives and look at our lives. I talked about it last week, how, you know, Paul says, look out for one another. But as you're looking out for other people, look at yourself. And he says, look at yourself three times as you look at someone else once. And so we've always got to do this inward thing where we're examining our own life and examining the battle within us and the desires of our flesh and what's combating. And if we, you know, fall into temptation and sin, that we repent. Remember who God is and what God did and what he saved us from. And it's so important. And repentance, I believe, is a practice that people tend to kind of just toss to the side. Well, I'm forgiven and I'm free and I'm saved, and so now I don't have to repent. But it's one of those things that keeps us humble and reminds us of the price that Jesus paid for the sins that we've already committed and for the sins that we will commit. He went to the cross. He took the nails and the crown of thorns for those sins. And we don't ever want to forget what grace cost him. Didn't cost us anything, but it cost him a lot. And so repentance is key. The next thing is identifying. We want to identify and live out our gospel purpose. So as we enter into our life in Jesus Christ, there will be a gospel purpose. And God wants to have you bring him glory right where he has you. For whatever reason, I think when people think about gospel purpose, they think, well, I have to be a pastor, or I have to be a worship leader, or I have to be doing something within the church. And listen, yes, there is gospel purpose there, but in order for the gospel to reach the world, it's got to leave the four walls of this church. And so your gospel purpose could be right where God has you right now. It's you preaching grace and living out the fruits of the Spirit with the people and the opportunities that God has led you to right where he has you. Now, on the flip side, God may say, hey, your gospel purpose is somewhere else, and I need you to leave where you're at and go. And if that's the case, man, take that risk. Step out on faith. Go where God is leading you in your gospel purpose. Identify it and go with it. So we're going to repent. We're going to identify the purpose. And then Paul talks about faith. And I think for us, it's continually believing that when we receive the Spirit is within us. And it's always with us. It's believing that Jesus gave himself so that the Spirit could come and so that we could be in direct communication with God. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that the Spirit's within you. That is your power. That is where your help comes from. That is your comforter. He is there. He is with you. The Spirit's going to guide you. He's going to bring you discernment. He's going to bring conviction. He's going to be in encouragement. You can't lose it, but you got to remember to use it, right? The Spirit is within you. And that goes right into the next thing. So we're going to believe that it's within us, and then we're going to rely on the Spirit. I don't know when your transformation happened. I don't know when grace came along and brought transformation for you. But before that happened, you were constantly relying on yourself, your wisdom, your power, your strength, the way that you thought things. And now with the Spirit within us, and this is a lifelong thing that we've got to figure out. We've got to learn to rely more on him than we do on ourselves. And as we learn to rely more on him and go to him and lean on him, guess who's going to be given more glory? He will. And that's the key to all of this. Our old life, our desires of our flesh, all of those things are for us and for our glory and for what we want to do. But when we learn to live out and rely on the Spirit, it brings glory to him and him alone. And that's when we know we're relying on the Spirit. So we want to repent. We want to identify. We want to believe. We want to rely. And then the next one is depend. You got to learn to depend on other people. It's real easy to fly solo. It's real easy to try to do things all on your own. But if you want to keep from drifting or from fluffing, you got to learn to depend on other people, other brothers and sisters in Christ, those who, just like you, have been baptized into Christ, have been given the fruits of the Spirit, and want to come alongside you to help you combat and crucify the desires of the flesh within you. So you got to learn to depend on others. I know, man, that there are a lot of people that kind of push away. Like, we kind of create this protective bubble, and we don't want to let people in, and we don't want to be vulnerable, and we don't want to be authentic. And if we show them, maybe they'll think less of us or they'll judge us. But, man, we are all in the same playing field. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. If you don't raise your hand, we'll have a talk afterwards, okay? Like, look, like, we're all sinners. Raise your hand if you got grace from Jesus Christ. We all got grace, and we're all on the same playing field. We all need each other. We've got to do a better job at depending on one another. And where does this take place? I mean, we talk about it all the time. My wife was talking about groups. Groups. It's so important. I mean, just sometimes, and this is going to be bad, sometimes hearing what someone else is going through makes you feel better about your own life. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, you're like, man, I thought I had it bad. Actually, I don't. Thank you for that. That was a blessing. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things. But then you're, and that takes place, and then you get to say, you know what? I can actually speak into what you're going through. And they can speak into what you're going through. And it's an amazing thing when we begin to open up and share our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. And when we're willing to share, guess what? That opens the door for others to share with us. We just got to go first. Go first. Open up those lines of communication. Let people know that you're going to depend on them and you want them to do the same. Groups is huge. This can happen in serving as well, as you come alongside other people and you're just doing life and you're doing ministry together. Those are two, man, very key ways. You get to really be in relationship and learn to depend on one another, to have accountability, to pray for one another, and to share those moments in life where you're going through it. You're not meant to go through it alone, but you got to take that step to depend on other people. So we're going to repent, we're going to identify, we're going to believe, we're going to rely, we're going to depend, and last, but finally, we're going to produce fruit. This is so important. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, it's one of those things, man, like it's kind of a funny phrase, and you're like, why are they fruits? Is it apples and oranges? No, it's love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and I think sometimes with the fruits of the Spirit, we get so used to saying them, but we have a hard time living them out in every situation, don't we? Of being someone that who is being gentle or practicing self-control. And we've got to be a people that are living this out in every area so that people can see the grace that we have for them. And so that we can counteract the desires of the flesh. Your fruit is better than flesh, okay? You don't want to eat flesh, okay? Eat fruit, okay? I'm just saying. No one likes a cannibal. Fruit is better for you. Anyway, there you go. That's a little joke. Okay. Here's how I kind of want to close this out today. In my life, I've had people come along and show me grace and give me grace even when I didn't deserve it, or even when I was just being a real not nice person to them. I've been given grace. I wonder, who has given or shown you grace that has led to life-changing gospel purpose? One person for me comes to mind, and it was when I was in sixth grade. And I hadn't gone to church, and I started going to church, and there was a new youth pastor that just showed up. And for whatever reason, I just started hanging out with this guy and started going to church and just doing life with him and seeing how he treats his kids and eating dinner with him. And that was my youth pastor, David Baxter. And the amount of grace that he shown me and gave me, and the amount of love. And he had so many other things. I look back and I'm so thankful. I was actually talking to my wife about this the other day. We were talking about their kids and just how they raised their kids right. And I was just thinking, I'm like, man, you know what? Like, I feel like I got a little bit of that as well. Like, his grace and his love and how he showcased, him and his wife showcased the fruits of the Spirit. It had a huge impact on my life. And that's just one example. And My last pastor did this for me. My wife does this for me every day. Like, you know, I can't, guys, how much grace do you think your wife gives you? More than you probably know, you know what I'm saying? But who was it? Who was it for you that shown you grace, that shown you love, that was kind, that was gentle, that and instead of turning their back or giving up on you, they stuck it out? My challenge for you today is to be that for somebody else. Because there is someone out there who's lost, who's hurting, who's given up, and all they need is just a little bit of grace. So in every moment, in every interaction, every day, let's preach grace. I want to close out the final verses of Galatians, Galatians 6, 14 through 18, and here's what it says. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Would you guys pray with me? God, today beyond anything, we are so thankful for the grace you've shown us. And you love us so much. And you desire an up-close and personal relationship with each and every one of us. What a wonderful thing to behold that the God of the universe wants a relationship with me. So much so that he'd be willing to sacrifice his son, show mercy and show grace, to pay the penalty for the sin that separates us from him. God, I pray that I never forget just how much your grace cost. I pray for those here today, God, that if somewhere along the way they forgot how much grace cost your son, that they would remember today. Thank you for reconciling our relationship. Thank you for giving us your spirit. And letting it combat the desires of our flesh. Coming against those things that we are so susceptible to. God, in our lives, I pray that we would remember Galatians, we would remember grace, we would remember that as we were given grace, God, we're called to show it. Give us the strength, give us the power to do that. That allow us to come alongside one another, to be vulnerable, to carry one another's burdens, and to do it with gentle grace. But God, in all things, let us be a people that when we go out into your world, that they see your spirit and the fruit that it produces and your son in us. And may that interaction, may that circumstance, may that conversation lead to them experiencing the grace that we have once experienced in our lives. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.